Well, it was much different because if the rough weather came up, you just couldn't, people out there, so you couldn't stand out rough weather out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then,
what would be rough about it?
Well, it's just the waves being so high, and you just can't be rocking on that. Oh yes, sometimes it gets hurt. Well, oh yes, sometimes even the fishermen get drowned in that sort of weather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it gets pretty rough in some areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
from what I understood, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Those fishermen, they seem to go in any sort of weather. Well, they're just used to it, you know. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all that long hours of working and no sleep, were there a lot of accidents unloading stuff? People would get tired, huh?
Oh, well, sometimes, I guess. Sometimes, you just have to watch out the load of cages over your head. And if one happens to spill it down in the hole, you just have to get out of the way. So I didn't see much accidents, but then that's one thing they told us, whenever a load of cages overhead, you should get away from under it. Get away from to the side. And only after that, the load is on the floor, then you could get to it. Yeah. Sometimes, a load would spill to the floor, and then you have to get out of the way. And they were sort of careful, though, than people understood that no accident happens, you know. They took their time, especially in the windstorm. You know, they see that you'd be out of the way first before they lift the load down into the hold. And then as I pulled out on the plane, on the sky. So having all these years when I was out there, long term, I didn't see hardly any accidents. But then I suppose that happened, but I didn't see any.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the most boring job in the
company? Well, I don't think there's any boring job about that sort of work. Because you'd have to work what you're doing, you know. The machine don't stop. Like if you're feeding lips on that top, you'd have to keep up with it. Same way as down below, you'd have to keep the fisher up. And to the hood to the butcher. And the next guy who feeds it to that big what you call an iron sink. There's about three or four stars on that. It flips open the fish, and then it clears out the gut, and you just have to keep up with them, that with the machine. So there's no boring left. That sort of work. Of course, loading on in the warehouse, it's just sort of boring there, but that's the only part. But all the rest of it, you just have to keep busy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And right if you stop, the machine don't stop. You have to keep up with it.
What would, say, people like, well, like your wife be doing, or other families, what would the women be doing while all the men would be at the county?
Sometimes they'd stay and live in town here, and sometimes they'd be out in their own fish tank. Fishing two salmon mostly. And then, we don't use much of that dog salmon, so the woman didn't want to come up with that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they, because of most, two families, they couldn't even make strips or put them in a bear or cut them after eating fish, smoke them in the smoke house. But they would be doing that while the men are out in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How did
the
family compare from
the district day? Oh, well, during the district day, they were much fatter. You know, they were like in the sea. And while the fish appeared, they were sort of flat, you know, because they're starving the wrong way. I guess they just fattened up, you know, just didn't they just fell up a stream along with the swan ground. And I don't think they feed along the way. Not that I know of, the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get up to the sun ground. So that's the difference. The fish are a little flatter, and the wild the ones in the out of the canvas are pretty much heavier. There's only difference between them.
Why do you go to the Batman after you got married?
So, what happened after you got married? What kind of
did
you? We just had the same life, go out shopping. Of course, I had extra passengers in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
And then while I went out trapping, trapping deer especially, he'd stay home at the tent there, cook dog meat, cook, and sometimes I'd come home late, and everything would be ready, you know. I didn't have to cook dog meat when I came home, or cook it when I came home. So I had good health like that. Then some kids got coming, I didn't go out too much. Of course, life was changing. There wasn't much, trapping was taking off, and the most of the time, the families would stay in town. I never just take my boys out trapping, yet. Since I started working down here in the school. I started working about 10 years ago, and then I never just go out trapping anymore.
What kind of
work were you doing? I was working as a custodian down here.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my 10th year, but then since I had this surgery here, I had to lay off for a while.
Mm-hmm. How many children do you have?
Oh, well, the first one was a girl. She was born in 1950, in the fall of 1950.
Mm-hmm.
Rita, she's over the anxious now, going to, she can't train. And then we took her off. The first child we had, and we still had to go out. And then we'd bring her up, good like everybody else. And then we'd keep it warm in the place. And sometimes it gets cold in the tent, and we'd have to keep it that it doesn't get cold.
How do you do that?
Oh, well, keep it wrapped up in blankets. Keep the fire going.
What kind of blankets?
Oh, just ordinary blankets. Custom made blankets, or this. Wool blankets. In the old days, we used to use rabbit skin blankets, which was much lighter and much warmer. But nowadays, we never see them anymore.
And,
Are we're having more children. I remember we used to go with three, and then after that we didn't go too much with the fourth child. Of course, he was born under the tree of the house, so we were trapping the fourth child.
You're
going
out in the
trapping? Yes. I had to do that. Midwife on that one. Well, we could have come down here to brought my wife down, but then I didn't want to lose too much time.
Mm-hmm.
we had so much big bill to pay. And then I just went, of course, everybody understood that. And then we just stayed out there.
Mm-hmm. But you knew what to do, huh?
Oh, yes.
Do you
know how to live with the rest of them? Well, maybe it's been a few years ago since the fourth child was born. And
you had a midwife?
Yes, I had to be a midwife.
Oh,
you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could have brought her down here. But then I had a lot of trapping to do, little trapping.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, I still couldn't pay up my bill. Then just before I went to work at Galena in the construction office, Peter Kiewicz, they were going to replace the whole field. And they gave me a job as a laborer. And then that way I got out of it all, paid my bills. And then it was big money, so 48 an hour was big money for us in the year. And then that's what I paid for my groceries. And a little left over. That's the first year I ever did that. So that was sort of a good year for me. And as everybody else at work, I suppose they did the same thing. Yeah, and then that's where the trapping sort of tapered off, like I say, since people started working. Oh, well. They make as much as they do, they do happen, maybe more.
What do most people think is the best advantage of working at a job instead of
something? Oh, well, yes. Right there, they know they're getting paid by the hour. So, as out there, you have to keep cutting for it. But, of course, if you cut too much in 1 year, the next day they won't be there to catch. That's only a difference.
So, you had four children?
Yeah, the last time I trapped, I had four children. I was thinking about a newborn baby. And since that time, I left my family in town. From that time on. Thank you. Well, from around 1957, I started going up from here. After we shifted a little up at Bishop Rock, and I'd go up from here in the fall. I did that for about maybe for about 8-9 years. And then, after we started going out of Canada, I didn't have to, like everybody, I didn't have to go out too much trapping, except for beaver.
When did you start going out to Bishop Rock?
Pardon?
When did you start first time at Bishop Rock?
Oh, well, we lived through the oil summer and we just stayed there through the fall. We just spiked it under the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd come down, we'd move back down here about between the 8th and the 15th of November. And after that, I start out on the track. I start out for the camp, main camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just come out before little Christmas.
What year did you start running this
event? Around 52 or 53. We said, of course, we tried this camp down here. We used to do pretty good fishing down here at 9 Mile, but for some reason it wasn't so good. First 2 or 3 days of heavy rain, and that's all you'd catch, and it took off quite a bit. So we'd use our fishing here and there, but it didn't seem to be any good. So what I found out is that the fish ran on the outside of the island. And then they come in around, coming to the coastal shore around about 2 or 3 miles further up. So this city shut down is just no more good. So from that time on, we start fishing at Bishop Rock. Most of the two salmon, and we'd use fish here. Of course, we cut more fish upwards and down at the camp where we used to be. And since that time, every year we'd move up to this place.
You still do that?
Oh, yes. We still do that.
Do you have family there?
Yes, the whole family, two or three other families. And then we just have to put up a real issue here. We just can't stay in town and don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're so used to eating fish that we just have to go out and then move us back up to different block and cook as much as we can.
Yeah. So, did you have any
children
after that last
one at Chaplin? Yes. The last one was born in 65. That's the last child we had. Going 13 now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we never had any more after that.
Mm-hmm. You had 5
altogether? You had 9
altogether.
Oh, yeah. 4
men.
Yes. 4 men. Of course, in 4 or 5, they're all grown up. And they, three of them are just on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You have any grandchildren?
Just got 2 so far. Yeah. Well, one, a daughter, she has a child, and she's a, living with a boy from up in the at the on a period of where he's working. And the other one is down here, he's a boy, he's 26. He's got a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So that just makes it clear that I've got. Well, I don't know what else to say, but
yeah.
Of course I say a lot of things, but then
yeah.
It will take time.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I remember you said in 45 you went into the service.
No, in 42.
Oh, in 42.
And it got out in 46.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Like any other service, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody, naturally, everybody didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much, because.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where did you go?
Oh, I didn't get out of Alaska. I was just mostly at Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, some of these boats, Alaskan boats, they went out of state and out across, they went overseas, but not too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How did you have a child that you thought you didn't like most of that?
Oh, getting up at Rivoli kind of sea.
Yeah.
Oh, about 6 most of the time, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yes. But I was young and didn't mind. Mm-hmm.
When you were young and 6 to 12, something like that. What kind of games do people play?
Oh, well, 6 to 12, well. I suppose it was racing, foot racing. And then hide and seek. Football.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, you can have set up a goal and one end, two goals in each end, and then you do mostly kicking. And then if you ever happen to get the ball through that goal, then you'd win that game. And just back and forth. But I never played too much of that. Mostly old people play that. But sometimes when we get together, we try that. No, the regular football. Yeah, regular football. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we play all sort of games, but we just make up some games. Whatever comes to our minds, which we do, you know.
Do you remember anything?
Like
that?
Oh. Well, we call this kitchikan. You know, you'd stand with your foot close to the bank. You'd have your foot there on a candle, and you'd count, and all the other children would be behind the harvest, you know. And you'd have to remember every one of these kids who they are, where they're hiding. And if you make a mistake laying the wrong cookie, they're allowed to come over the bank. And then you'd have to walk down the back and get the can. That's the one thing that I know of that place, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes they took the can right in the water and you still had to get it. And then try over again. Well, that's the one made up thing that I know of. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Not anymore. There's most people what we call this jumping. What do you call that?
Hot
spots mostly. Marble, that's all they play. And over the ground is cold in the spring. Mm-hmm. And as the time comes along, they play this basketball. Mm-hmm. And now you've never been a touch time anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was wondering, because your family did so much traveling and would be out at the track line, you couldn't really go to school, right? Did you go to school at any time, or no other kids that were going to school?
Well, I didn't have much school in my life. Mm-hmm. I mostly out tracking. And from wherever it came out here and what little time we spent down here, I just used to go to school. But at that time was just too short. We didn't learn anything at all. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
actually, I didn't have too much school. I just went up as far as third grade in the memoir office. Last time I went to school was in 1935.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time I knew I went back to school.
Was that the school here?
Yeah, this school here, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because the reason why we never went to school is because we moved out in the fall before it freezes up. And then we stayed out there all winter. And then, like us, we'd come down here and there, here and now and then. And for the little time we spent down here, we'd go to school. Mm-hmm. But that time it wasn't enough to learn anything.
How about the kids that were in town this year and third in there?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I suppose they are. They're going up to the 9th grade and graduating, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
And those are kids now, you know?
Yeah, now, nowadays, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about back then? Did any kids stay in town? Or did everybody go out?
Well, not very many kids stayed in town. Maybe just about two or three families.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there weren't even enough kids to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Who took care of that school? Who kept it going?
Oh, well, I suppose the government. I mean, it wasn't school district then, it was a territory school.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything about this for 3 years at New York?
Oh, I'd learned a little arithmetic and geography, but it's been so long ago that if I had to do any arithmetic or get out, I'd have to start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Since so long ago.
What about those teachers? What were they like?
Oh, well, they were like any other teachers. If you didn't behave, they'd have to correct you. Then. Of course, they did their job, but this was kind of teaching you. And it was up to you to learn, like anybody else. Learn or just don't tell them.
Mm-hmm.
But most of these kids nowadays, they seem to be all learning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you learn a lot of things from your parents. And your father taught you so much.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the most important thing that he taught you?
Well,
and your mother.
Important thing is being on time. Like, say, if you're be at certain place out in the camper before it snows too heavy. And then just being on time is the most important thing he's taught me. Never stay down in time too long. That's the important thing he used to talk about. You always be on time.
Do you mean like
like you are under unkind trapping, so you have plenty of time to be outside trapping.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be the most important thing he's talking.
What would happen if you went
on time? On time, maybe you'd just have your trapping, or conscience, or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that's the important thing that I know.
You went on time with, you went on time and something happened?
Oh, well. Sometimes it wasn't too bad. Like say if you don't go certain times to your next camp, it's no heavy, that gives you work. But it has to be, before it's no heavy, you get out there, then it's behind you.
Mm-hmm. What makes that you see more work if it's
no
heavy?
Oh yeah, you just have to snow through one day for your belt. To come back in one day, yeah. Mm-hmm. Whereas, if you're on time, ahead of time, you didn't have to do that. That seems to be important. Besides, of course, he's talking all sorts of ways of trapping different games. I suppose that was important too. And I say being on time was most important.
Mm-hmm.
Like you say, you move up to ski camp. If it's too soft and no freeze up, you'd have a hard time moving up to ski camp. Mm-hmm.
What about your mother? What important things does she teach you?
Yeah. I suppose she's doing rabbits. It was up to a father who's got a son to teach you. And most of the things that he's got in
mind. So, your father did most of the
teaching? Oh, yes, he did most of the teaching, yeah.
And would your mother be teaching the girls?
Oh, he should be teaching how to sew and whatever a woman has to do with her daughter, cooking. Washing, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Sewing. And then tanning skin. I suppose. And licking gloves or hat or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got their own job to do. Father and mother, I suppose. Mm-hmm.
You said that your father had an accident?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was in 43, March of 43. Yeah, I was gone at that time, I was in Syria.
Mm.
And then he got sick instantly. He was out on the vehicle and going down the hill there. And the sleigh was pretty well loaded with all this stuff. And then we ran into a tree and he just happened to be in front there. And but my mother, I never asked my mother just how it happened, you know. I thought to her that I never asked her about it.
Mm-hmm.
But she mentioned it was in the letter that his sister was all smashed. But he died instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was pretty hard for my mother, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty hard for me too, but I was away from home. I thought of my mother, how she was going to work all alone, taking care of the kids. But then there's always a way of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Then I found out that really tight, I got the army to send some money every month, like public allotment. I put in so much and the government would put in so much. And they send it to her, you know, that was easier for her, like anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, especially if you had an old parent, no matter either old or young,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, the army would do that.
If you ask them, they would take
that out of the pay. Oh, yes, they'd take part out of the pay, and they'd put in some, they'd put in more.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and then they'd send that to your parents. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I, nowadays I don't know how they do it. No.
So,
you
know, when you got out of the service, did you come back here?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right away, huh?
Oh, yes. It took me about 3-4 days to come back, and then I had to pay my way. If the army was going to pay my way, I'd have to switch the transportation. But Bush always didn't want that, he just went out. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How long have you had to wait?
I'd say about anywhere from a week to 10 days.
So what was that like when you got back home?
Oh, it was... Well, I suppose I forgot a few things. Just like, if I'm going to shoot a rabbit, I'd miss it. You know, it'd be too far. Or if I wanted to shoot a rat, spring hunting, I'd miss it. It'd be just too far away.
What month was this you got
out? In February. No, yes, in February.
February?
Yeah.
46.
Yeah.
How did you come back from
Anchorage? Oh, by flight from Anchorage to Fairbanks, and then finally by flight from Anchorage down to Galena. And the fellow brought me down here, but there was no flight down here in the year, just as far as Galena. And then the fellow brought me down by Dalton. And then I wanted to go out deer trapping. It was still in March. So my uncle was down here. And then I was going up with him, you know, but I had to walk since he had a load. Walked all the way up. And then after I spent a few days up the main camp, I tried one way, but didn't do any good. So I went up to my home where my younger brother was. John Jr., they call him, on the Hoosier River. And then I came to him, and I tried everywhere to do the trap, and it still didn't do any good. I didn't catch not one beaver that year.
Did you see the beaver?
Oh, there was beaver, but then I just didn't see them, just to catch on again. Mm. Now that's a difference it made. You know, being gone for over 3 years, and maybe you forget a few things. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after a few weeks, but I came back in.
Mm-hmm.
In April, yes. And then when springtime came, happened like I went up with a fellow they called Jonathan. We had to calculate. He wanted me to stay with him. So I spent the spring with him. And the rats were a pretty good price at that time. They were anywhere from 2.5 to 3 euros a piece. And that was pretty good compared to the average 75 cents each year. You know. But then, since I was young, I lost it all in gambling. But I caught, you know. So I didn't. I thought I didn't care.
Yeah, all that gambling.
Gambling?
Yeah.
Poker, I lost it in.
Oh, here in
Calgary. Here, right here in Calgary. Of course, I didn't know much poker 10 years. Just mm-hmm. I went in for the fun of it, I suppose.
Well, I
suppose since I didn't know when to stop, I suppose I just kept right on going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But since I was being stupid, it didn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just went in for the fun of it, I suppose.
Well,
mm-hmm.
That sounds like breaking more times than that.
Oh, well.
A lot of money going around
there. Not too much, but in the early years, there used to be big things. You know, they never have used chips in the years. They used great cash, mostly coins, at least. And then at that time, before the chips, they were still using that. Well, after that, I started using chips. They cash in, that used to trick. But much earlier than that, we used to do games, right after that something, you know, piles of rats, they play with that. And then, I suppose, they win or lose, either way. Yeah. But mostly you see cash and coins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, when guys are betting the rats, where do you expect it at? In the camp?
At the camp there. Mm-hmm. Before it ever moves on. We do all our rat fishing out in the camp. going. Yeah. Oh, sometimes, yeah, when people come, we move out of the Kite River, and people start coming down, they stop at our camp, and they give them a good game of poker. Yes, they do that sometimes. Yeah. Oh, I was too young in them years. Oh. Yeah, and then sometimes there used to be a big thing, sometimes a fellow would win a big bunch of rats, you know. Or whatever they had. Since they were out there gambling, they gambled mostly with muskrat. And same way down here, didn't have no cash, they took whatever they had.
Well,
when they tried to bet in the
sense
that they asked him, sometimes they got the ones that were still on the board? No, I've never seen that. I suppose that happens, but I've never seen that. Not down here. Of course, they say up in Hushia, there used to be big games, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They always used to cut a lot of fur up that way, I mean, in that area. In the winter, in the spring, they used to. Game used to be pretty abundant, and people used to, they're pretty much a hustler out there. And then they used to be given to big games. Whenever they come down here, they just give it to big games. They'll make a big game out of whatever they have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. You have to be lucky. Yes, there was one man used to be pretty lucky in blackjack and poker, I suppose. His name used to be John Nelson. And from what I heard, he used to be pretty lucky. Or he used to be a card player. And of course, I suppose there was two or three others too, but in the news I was just reading to them. But I do remember people out on the petroleum bank with a big canvas stretched out. And I do remember seeing mostly coins and bills.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time I see a pile of rats out in the center, what they bet in front of each player. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do, if a person wins a rat, what does he do?
Yeah, he just keeps for whatever he wins, I suppose. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. And the loser just loses. Oh, well, he's in the same way that you or me. If you lose $100 right now, I would just say that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well,
up on Hitler, I heard that they used to even play in winter with spurs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, with a mink mostly. Mm-hmm. No, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what kinds of other things did people do for fun or entertainment? Older, adults, like
Oh, well, sometimes they have dances for entertainment.
What kind of music
too, Mr. Well, they used to play just a home music, like violin and guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever plays violin, he always moves, plays night after night. Same with guitar player, now and then accordion. And then for entertainment, all the people used to have dances. And then in the summertime, they used to play baseball across there on the sandbar. Of course, everybody played that way, able to play the hardball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was a good entertainment. And that's the only entertainment I knew for the older people.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the people that used to play violin?
Oh, well. No. I don't know, they all passed away. Of course, nowadays, everybody takes the car, kicks and all. They just grab the car and learn pretty fast. And that way, they just go to play some.
Do you still have dances?
Oh, yes, we still have dances, but mostly to a fellow that's singing with the guitar, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly have waltzes or fox are doing anymore, but mostly just twisting. No, no. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the dancer needs to be rocked and foxtrot.
Foxtrot, and then it could be called one step, the square dance.
Mm-hmm.
And now and then it could be called this. Virginia Reel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Swordish, because.
What did
they call it? Swordish. Well, I can't really read it in concept.
Mm-hmm.
The older people, the old people used to really enjoy that pretty well, the dancing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not too much when I was young. And then you used to, most of the older people used to do most of the dancing, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what would the young people do?
Well, they're skating in the water, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Until you take some of the time, it's late in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't think of any other thing to say. If I was prepared for it, I could tell you a lot more.
Yeah, we're just about at the end of the clip, so maybe we should just stop.
Yeah.
Well,
everybody comes down, I mean mostly everybody, they have some kind of entertainment, so they put up a dog race, and they invite other villagers to come in and sort of challenge them, you know. Of course, I was the name of the game, I suppose. So sometimes they run long ways, long course, and then sometimes short. A fellow they call George Kinney from Vienna, he used to do all the wins, most of the wins. And a fellow from Nevada they call Joe Stickman. Of course, he was partly disabled in one leg. He used to have pretty good team, that fellow. It's surprising that he couldn't run. And then while these other men, they take the dog around, you know, but soon he didn't run. He had got him on races. In 1928, I remember, just remember him winning the third dance race, you know, 69 race. And then, ghost took me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Of course, he was still disabled, and then he still won it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he beat his younger brother, who was able to run. And he beat, he won that race.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had
a good time. Yeah. Even up the hill, he had to ride. Other men had to run up to him.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that. He wasn't able to do that. But he trained his dog so well that he had to do all they can. It depends on the way you train your dog. So,
mm-hmm.
Now, for that entertainment, we had dog races, snowshoe races, and ski races. You know, a ski race must be pretty rough in this. If you ever fall down, it was hard to get up again. Sometimes coming down a bank across there, everyone could take a spill. Yeah, you just have to know how to handle your rope. You know, they have a long rope. I'd say about 20 feet long. And you've got to know how to handle that. Handling that rope is that you get up close to your dog just before you go down the bank. And going down the back, you have to play it out, you know. That slows you down, but it doesn't slow the dog down. And especially around quick curves, you know, you'd have to get up, start up your rope. And before you, that quick curve, you'd have to tear out that line. And the man on the street slows down, but not the dog. That way it prevents it from taking a spill. Yeah. I suppose that was a trick in the ski racing. Well, I've seen as much as five dogs. They didn't have too much because the sleigh was pretty light. You know, there's nothing to pull you but you and the ski.
No
sleigh, just a ski. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you'd have to know how to handle your rope. I've seen men. I sit out there when they come in. You know, some men they handle their rope pretty well, and some men they just start paying out that line too late, you know. They tumble over.